All right, we're going to start with the beginning of Bereshis. And tonight, the plan is only the first pasuk with maybe a hint to something at the end of the first day of creation. So the pasuk reads, Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. So Hirsch's translation is a little bit different than what you're used to, slightly. From the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And there's a reason why he puts it that way. So let me read you, this is really, I don't plan on having endless discussions about Hirsch's understanding of the Hebrew language, but once in a while, you get a hint of how much thinking he put into every word. And it's worth hearing from just this one sample of it this time. He says that the word Bereshis, the Shorish is the word Rosh, Resh Aleph Shin. And it's phonetically related to Ra'ash and Rachash, because the Aleph in the middle letter of the three-letter root and the Ayin and the Ches, in Hirsch's understanding of language, there are certain families of letters that are all related to each other. So there's degrees of that same sound, and they all are very related. One's more intense than the other. So the word Ra'ash means an earthquake. It doesn't just mean a loud sound. It really means an earthquake. And Rachash really means it's the motion that a snake makes when it crawls. It doesn't really mean to crawl. He says that Ra'ash, they both mean movement of some sort, and so does Resh Alashin, Rosh, beginning. It means movement. So Ra'ash, which is an earthquake, he says, denotes spatial movement. And Rachash denotes inner movement. So with that in mind, the word Rosh, from the word Bereshis, is the source of movement. The origin of all outer and inner movement. So Rachis means a beginning of movement, a beginning in time, not a beginning in space. There's another word for beginning in space. He gets into that. I'm not going to confuse us with other words. So our pasuk tells us the following, and here's the very first and most important message that we're going to elaborate on tonight. And that is, the pasuk is saying, in the beginning of all existence, it was God who created. It's the beginning of everything that we know. And it's really referring to the end of what the pasuk is saying, to what we know as Shamayim Va'aretz, heaven and earth. So the beginning of all of that, Hashem brought it into being. Its very start, Hashem bara, which we're going to soon see what the word bara means. It's really creation. I may as well jump to that right now. The word bara, I'm not going to get into his etymology. There's a lot there. It's connected to the Aramaic word bra, which is outside. It means bringing from inside into somewhere out. So in human terms, if we could put it that way, it's like Hashem's thought was to make something happen, and the actuality of it is bringing it out into reality. And that's called creation. That's bria. That's bara. So there was nothing other than Hashem's idea to have something, and then he made it happen. That's bara. Hashem made it happen. So what's the point of the Torah opening up with this line? It's nice to know, but is it a history lesson of ancient times? Not at all. It's really there to teach us about ourselves, not just about the little bit of glimpse of the world that we live in. So he says the idea is yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, or as some people put it, creation ex nihilo. A world that didn't exist, and now there was something from nothing. And it's the opposite of a belief that was around the world even then, and certainly we know people like that even today, that believe that the world just always was this way. It always was. Maybe not this way. It always was. The eternity of the world. The Greeks believed that. And many, it's a pagan belief. In Mitzrayim, they believe that as well. And he says that the whole point of this opening line of the Chumash is to counter that thought process. He says that the belief is not only a metaphysical falsehood, a misrepresentation of the origin of the universe, but even worse, and this is important, even worse, it undermines all morality, meaning all ability for humans to make choices, and I'll explain. It denies all freedom in both God and man. If matter had antedated creation, if there was already stuff in the world before there was this creation, and God had to work with this stuff, if there was a God, but it's already stuff that's here, and God took it and did something with it and put together a world, then the creator of the universe, who was working with already existent stuff, would have been able to fashion from the material given him not a world that was absolutely good, but only the best world possible with the limitations of the material. He could only work with what he's got. If there was already stuff there and it was faulty, all he could do is use it and manipulate it any which way possible. In that case, all evil, natural and moral, would be due to the inherent faultiness of the material. And not even God would be able to save the world from evil, natural and moral. God wouldn't be the master over the material of the world if it was already there before God took it and used it to make a world that we have. And man would not be master over his own body. Freedom would vanish, and the whole world, including its God and the men who live in it, would be propelled by a blind, immutable fate. And the message of the Torah is that God wasn't, his hands weren't tied with stuff that he was working with that was already there that might have been faulty. Bereishis Bara Elokim tells us everything in the world that we have, God chose to have it the way it is. Everything that follows hinges on these words. Everything, the matter and the form of everything that exists, was created by the free, almighty creator. And the creator still rules freely over the matter and form of every existing thing, over the forces that act upon matter, over the laws by which these forces operate, and over the resulting forms. For the free and almighty will of God created matter and causes these forces to act upon it. And his will sets the laws by which forms are fashioned. In other words, the way I believe it's put by Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Nefesh HaChayim, also discussing this idea of creating yesh miayin, something from nothing. If you have a carpenter that makes a chair, so he takes wood, he goes to Home Depot, gets some wood, sands it, knocks it together, but he didn't make the wood, he didn't make the nails, he just took stuff that was already there and put it in place. Once he finished building his chair, he walks away from it, and you don't need him anymore to have the chair be a chair. But if something's created from nothing, so that then its whole existence was dependent on that being that made it exist, and therefore every moment of its continued existence still needs that being that put it into existence in the first place. So everything in the world that God put into existence needs God to constantly say, exist, exist. So the free will thinking God is here constantly saying to everything that we know, to this table, don't fall apart. The rules of nature that I set into place, I want you to keep going. I want you to stay in place as they are. And if there's a need at times to make an adjustment to the rules of nature, since that very God puts it into existence every moment, he has the capacity to make adjustments as he chooses to, should he ever choose to. And now comes the aspect of man. So God has free will. That's the point of Yesh Me'ayin. Nothing is holding him back. He made it all, and he sets the rules for how everything is. And he goes on to say, and just as God rules freely over his world, so has he made man master over his small world. God breathed into man a spark of his own free essence so that man should freely master his body and its forces. Thus, he created man in his image, right? We made B'Tselem Elokim. In the free image of the free God, he placed man as an image of God in a world governed by his omnipotence. So if you don't believe that God has free will, there's no way to think that man could possibly have free will. How could the gods, who are limited and they have to live in their own little sphere, which is how the world of Mitzrayim was. They had countless gods in the pagan world. Basically, the way they looked at it was they see all these contrasts and these contradictory forces in the world. And they, the only way they could explain it was to say that there are different powers that are colliding against one another. Somehow these gods formed man, however that works. I don't know whether they had an explanation how the creation took place. But if the gods themselves have their hands tied behind their back, they don't really have free will. They can only operate in their zone. If the god of rain can only make rain and he can't put out a, he can't make it dry up. And if the god of wind can only do that, and every energy in the world is evil and there's good and there's, and all these different forces can only live within their sphere, then there's really no choosing. You're stuck within who you are. Well, then man, who's less than that, who's a product of the gods, if you want to look at it that way, can't be any better than the gods. And if so, then there could be no expectation of man to make good choices, because the gods don't make choices. Everything, everyone and everything is stuck the way it is. And Hirsch in other places says that this was a really important statement to make. Think about who heard this sentence. This is Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. And this is the opening line we get to hear. According to a Rashi that we once learned, they were taught this even before Matan Torah in the weeks or the days leading up to Matan Torah. They were read from Sefer Bereishis all the way until Parshas Mishpatim. The opening line they heard was this message. It was so different than everything that they had thought about till then. Because in Mitzrayim, it was a place which the power that you were blessed with, because you lived near the Nile River and you had wealth thanks to the fact that even if it didn't rain, you were able to irrigate and build little channels and irrigate your fields. So you were the strongest country in the area and you were able to boss people around and you could have slaves. And even slaves had slaves in Mitzrayim. It was really, it was a country with a philosophy that we all go with just what nature is, and there's no moral choosing. We are the strongest, we're the toughest, and tough on you that you're weaker. There's no choosing good, bad. We're lucky that we're stronger, more powerful, and we're going to have you, you know, under us because we can. And to that, this is the opening line of the whole Torah saying man can choose to be good because man has free will. There's no such thing as being stuck in who you are. God's not stuck. He made everything. And by that, we understand he has free will and he made us in his image and we have free will. It's a huge revolutionary statement to the world. Until that time, nobody believed this stuff. They had forgotten about Hashem. And this is the opening line. It's much more than hearing about that there is a God in the world. But it means look at who you can be if you understand God's that way. So let me add something here. This is a very another level of the same idea, but we're going a little deeper now. The world that was created, I'm reading straight from Hirsch today. The world that was created, Bereishis, in this very beginning, God creating something from nothing, is not the best one that can be fashioned with the given material. As we explained already, God chose all the material. He set it up exactly the way it is. Rather, it is the only good world. This world, with all its seeming flaws, corresponds with the wise plan of the Creator. He could have created a different world had such a world corresponded with his will. Man, who was created Bereishis, with all his moral shortcomings, has the ability to attain the moral perfection set before him by the Creator. The possibility of sinning is part of his moral perfection. This is so foundational to everything Hirsch talks about throughout all his writings. It is a basic condition for his moral freedom. The ability to sin, that needs to be put into the world. Both the world and man will reach the highest ideal of the good for which both were created. They will achieve this level of good because God, who has placed this goal before them, has created them both for this goal. It's going to happen. Hashem knows how to make a world and exactly how to achieve what he wants. But it's going to happen in accordance with his free and unlimited will. He could have created a different creation, a different world, and a different man, had this served the purpose that he set before them in freedom. But he chose to make man as we are and the world as we are with all the seeming flaws, because that's going to be exactly the way it's going to pan out according to his will. And he says, we say this all the time, every day in davening. We make a statement about this. It's one of the most holy moments in davening if you pay attention. Bi'alma divra chir'u se. That's what the word said. But in the world that he created according to his will. We're making that statement every time we say Kaddish, that God has free will, and the world that we have today was made that way. And ultimately, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Me'rabba, that God's name, that great name of God that we understand him, will become great and increase. When one day, as the whole plan unfolds, it'll become understood where it was all heading from the very beginning. So he goes on to say, the famous Rashi, in the beginning of the Chumash, that he quotes as the Medrash Rabbah, and it says there, Bischus Yisrael, in the merit of Klal Yisrael, Bischus Moshe, in the merit of Moshe, Bischus Chala, in the schus of the mitzvah of Chala, and Bischus Meiser Bikurim, right? Trumas, taking Meiser from your fruit, the tithe, and Bikurim, the first fruits, was the world created, Nivra Olam. What is this? There's a cute vart, but what is this? And then Rashi feels it's necessary to talk about this in the beginning. He says, all of these are beginnings. We also understand the statement, HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaYamabit B'Torah U'Borei Olam. It's also in the Medrash Rabbah. Hashem looked into the Torah and he created the world. As he explains as follows. So Yisrael and Moshe began a new phase of development in history, and therefore are called Reishis. They represent the first realization of the ideal of man's creation. The point of having a world was for man using his moral freedom to choose to live by God's will. So it didn't happen. There was, we're going to see, 20 generations until finally Avraham Avinu comes along and is selected, and ultimately Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to get the Torah, and Klal Yisrael that's formed, is the beginning of how the struggle between good and bad and man finally choosing fits into everything else. The world, every other aspect of the world other than man, already does the will of Hashem. But Hashem wants there to be this tug of war and man making choices. And that's the whole goal of everything that he set up, is man choosing ultimately to live by God's rules. We are going to be part of that chorus of all of the Bria accepting God's will. So the beginning of that process, that's a new beginning, but it's really the original plan. So already in the beginning of the creation of the world, Hashem is looking to, where is this goal going to happen? So that's Moshe and Klal Yisrael. Chala, Ma'aseh Bikurim is also that. Those are all taking the gifts that Hashem gives us and with it giving homage to its creator. All of these mitzvahs are exactly that. You take Bikurim, your first fruit, before you start using stuff in the field. Chala, before you start benefiting from your own food on your table. And Meiser, before, again, that there's a holier purpose, you have to give it to people who have a special, holy, instructive way of guiding you. And all of that is before you start using this world, understanding what it's for. That's the goal of what creation is there, man choosing to have a higher purpose, not just to live. And of course, the Torah, which is the foundation of all of this, this whole structure that Hashem created, that we're going to live in this structure to understand how to live by a moral code. So the Torah is also that beginning. All of these were the aims only realized later, but were ensured from the beginning of creation. So that's why that's called the Reishis. Rashi says one other thing that I'll mention here, and that is that this awareness of God became lost in the course of time, and that's why it's necessary to have miracles. The whole idea of miracles is because without being aware that God chooses. What does a miracle mean? A miracle means that God is not bound to this world. He set it into motion, therefore he can make any change he wants. He can upend all the laws of nature. Well, that means God has free will. A miracle is no more than saying God has free will. When man forgot that, it's necessary to be reminded. It's not just to see that God is powerful, but he's saying, no, the message in seeing a miracle and knowing about a miracle is exactly this point. God makes a miracle means God is in control of everything here because he chose the way the world is. And if God can choose, then man can choose. When I was growing up in the 70s, it was a funny joke. I don't know, some comedian used it and it became repeated for a number of years. Everyone thought it was very funny. Anyone who wanted to explain his bad behavior, he would say, the devil made me do it. Don't blame me, the devil made me do it. It was a cute line. Everyone was throwing that line around for years in the 70s. But that's a lame excuse for, you know, I don't blame me. There are other religions, even religions that believe in a God, but they have this one area where they have a problem with. Christianity talks about man being flawed. They understand the original sin totally different than us. We'll get to that. But they say, well, our hands are tied. We can't help ourselves. Once man sinned, we fell and we can't fix ourselves anymore. Now we need something, somebody, Yashka, to bail us out because we can't anymore. The Torah is saying that's not true. You can. You have free will and you never sunk to the point that you're stuck. There's no such thing. You can choose to fix yourself.